Hi, this is Beth Claxton of Self Care MD, and today we have with us Tanya Mark. Tanya is a dynamic eating psychology coach, mind body nutrition and fitness expert. Tanya leads a lively, authentic, and real world conversation around the global obsession with eating, the perfect diet, and finding the ultimate exercise routine to attain what the media portrays as the ideal body and health. She explores the cutting-edge principles of how mind-body nutrition, as well as dynamic eating psychology, with the goal of helping us attain sustainable wellness goals. So welcome, Tanya.
Thanks for having me, Beth. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. So I've been teaching my your healthcare pilot group. And in talking with people coming into the group and talking with people who are in the group now, exercise was a huge hurdle that many of them said they found it really difficult to fit into their lives. So I thought bringing you on today would be helpful in defining what we can do to develop an exercise routine and what we're looking at physiologically in our bodies and why it's important to exercise and what it means for us right now in this stage of our lives. So I would say most of us in this group are between 30 to 50 years old, and we're starting to see that we're not so young anymore. We're starting to notice that our endurance isn't as good. It's difficult to get up and go out and just play on the weekends. Many of us are developing some back pain or physical ailments. We're seeing that our concentration might not be as good as it used to be in our memory. And we're starting to see that we're getting older. So I wanted to ask you, why does it matter? Why does exercise matter?
Yeah, I love that you brought up kind of two major points is, you know, the difficulty of finding time to fit exercise in. I think that's huge, so we'll definitely talk about that. And I think what you're doing in your course in the 10 Habits is huge. And then the second thing, like you said, is why does it matter now? Like, what's changing in our bodies, you know, in our mid-30s and then as we age? And why, it's like, yeah, we all know we're supposed to exercise and know that, you know, there's some wonderful benefits, but why is it becoming such a big deal now when it seemed a little bit easier, you know, when we were younger in our 20s to feel good and look good? So maybe I'll start with that first. And listen in, this is big. You know, around age 30, we automatically start to have a yearly decline in muscle mass. And so this is something that we should all be like sitting up and listening, like, well, why is that? Who cares? What's the big deal as long as I'm thin? Well, you know, muscle is more metabolically active, which means the more muscle tissue that we have in our body, the more we're going to burn calories, the more calorie burning ability we have just while sitting in our office chair doing our notes. That's great, right? Like, we want that, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right, because a lot of us, like you had mentioned, spend a lot of time sitting in chairs. You know, it's not all the time, but we do. And then what's common, you get back pain and there's this whole snowball effect. And so, you know, when we have more muscle tissue, that's, I mean, it's really what's going to keep us healthy as we age, and keeping us so that we can keep our metabolism revved up and fired up. Well, most of us are noticing it's going in the opposite direction, because even if we're thin, we might be called what I call skinny fat, meaning your proportion in your body composition of muscle to fat, your muscle content is very low. So this isn't really about weight. It's really about what your body's made up of.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, you know, many of my menopausal women start to say, I'm eating like I used to, and I'm gaining weight. Or I'm eating less than I used to, and I'm still gaining weight. And it probably is that they just don't have that metabolic muscle mass helping them out.
Yeah, and that to me is such a huge aha. Like, wow, like how, you know, like you said about that struggle with anybody that, you know, hey, we're doing the same old things, but it's just not working anymore. And that's why we need to be like, okay, we need to be tuned into this yearly decline that's natural in muscle mass as we age. And so if we start to address that by, you know, kind of my favorites, Beth, to address, you know, trying to lose fat and gain muscle is some resistance training. And, you know, it doesn't have to be these huge amount of weights. It just needs to be challenging for you. And then the second piece that I like to address is what I call interval training. So you don't need to be doing a ton of exercise. I like to really say, let's try and exercise efficiently and effectively. So, you know, if you have 10 minutes and you can go for a walk, perhaps you take your dog, because I'm always trying to find ways to, the old multitasking. You know, I have a dog, and I'm like, okay, I want to get him out, but I also want to take care of myself, so why can't we have a win-win? And so what is an interval? Basically, it's, you know, when I go for a walk, I might do, you know, a 30-second quick walk, and then I'll do a 30-second slow walk. So it's a time period that you're working a little bit harder and a time period where you're basically what I would call resting. So that could be different. You could be on a bike and do that. You could do stairs at work instead of the elevator. That could be a little bit of interval, because you have to think, when you're doing the stairs, that is going to be your work interval. And then you hit the floor that you need to get off on, that's your rest. So there's some neat little things that we can do, dog walking, you know, at work, or wherever you are, where we can do some of these intervals. And then, you know, as far as the resistance training, sure, you know, you're going to have to find out what works for you. Can you do something at home, get a set of weights before you go to work? Or do you like, you know, going to an exercise class that is right down the street from work or home? And there's also some wonderful things that we can do online. I think you're familiar with Yoga Glow.
Right?
Right?
Yes.
Or, you know, we can get the Fitbit that I think a lot of us have these days, just to kind of motivate us to, you know, look down and see how many steps we're taking. It makes it kind of fun, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else? I mean, there was something else when we were chatting that you had mentioned was a good,
Daily burn.
I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we need to just explore all these different little options out there. Do you like yoga? Do you like something like, you know, the daily burn? Or do you like to maybe just put your Fitbit on and go out with your dog, or use your time wisely at work? So find something that you enjoy and you are motivated to do. So, I mean, I don't recommend people just go out and do something that just to do it. There needs to be some enjoyment just to get you going. And then once you get going, a lot of people start naturally wanting to do some of these other types of exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It gets demystified.
Yeah. And then, so there's the challenge of where am I going to fit this when, you know, most of us are in this daily cycle of, you know, go to bed, you know, get up, go to work, you know, just kind of like go through the motions. But I think the fitting it in needs to begin by practicing the 10 habits. So, for example, when are we eating dinner? And how big is that meal? You know? And, you know, if we're eating really late at night and we're eating a big meal and then, you know, we go to sleep a couple hours later and we're really digesting when we should be resting, repairing, detoxifying, and the next morning we wake up and what do we feel like? We're heavy, we're fatigued, and heck no, we don't want to exercise, right?
No way. You want to snooze the alarm.
Right.
Off and that's a little bit more.
Yeah, and usually that's what most of us do. And that's why I think, you know, just starting to practice the habits, the earlier, lighter dinners, you know, the eating, you know, your biggest meal at lunchtime or when, you know, around noon when your digestive fire is highest. You know, all these things that are natural rhythms will help us find time to fit exercise into our daily routine. And does your group, you know, what is the best time? Is it the morning?
I would have to say probably is, you know, a lot of us start work at about 7 to 7:30. And so getting to bed early is really important, and that's one of the habits. And waking up early, another one of the habits, is also important. And just getting so that when you wake up, you feel good takes a while, and that's when I found that I could really move into an exercise routine. And if we don't get it done in the morning, you know, it's hard to get it done. There's always something else in the afternoon. And getting it done in the morning, it checks it off your list.
Yeah.
And then it's not looming over you.
I 100% agree. And I think for your group, to work into what you said by practicing their earlier, lighter dinners and then getting to bed on time. And then once, you know, we get those habits underway, we're more likely to wake up earlier and feel good and actually have some time before we go to work to do something for ourselves, whether or not it's a yoga glow video or taking the dog for, you know, a 30-minute interval walk or, you know, doing the daily burn. Or perhaps, you know, there is a, you know, 5:38, I don't know, you know, early morning exercise class that they really like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's something I wanted to ask you about, even just time, how much time should we be exercising? Because sometimes there's only 15 minutes. And Dan actually has. Daily Burn has a series called the DB15 that are 15-minute workouts every day. And if there is a class that they like later in the day at the gym, and they could go for that, they could aim for that, and they could do their 15-minute workout in the morning and then still make that class if they can. But if something happens and an emergency comes along and they don't get to that class, they've still had something.
Right. So I think that's excellent, Beth. You know, if doing something quick and short in the morning, like 15 minutes or less, perfect, you know, at home before you go to work. And then while you're at work, maybe you do start to, you know, take the stairs instead of the elevator. That could be something you do during work. And then, you know, if you're practicing the 10 habits and you tap into the digestive fire and you eat a nice, well-balanced meal at lunch, that carries you through that afternoon lull when most of us get tired and want a snack, you're going to be in better shape to want to perhaps do, you know, some sort of exercise post-work as well. But, you know, if we're in that vicious cycle of eating the big dinner, going to bed late, waking up in the morning, you know, feeling fatigued and heavy, we're just setting ourselves up for, you know, not doing anything. But with those habits in place, you can see that you could fit in the 15 minutes in the morning. You'll feel good while you're at work because you're nourishing yourself. And then, you know, perhaps having a little bit of something after work. You know, you don't have to do all three, but like you said, if you really practice the habits and get something in the morning, that's a win. And if you just start there.
Right, absolutely. And I wanted to ask you also, is it important to exercise every day, or can we just exercise, you know, do a long thing on the weekend and get it in there?
You know, I really like to see my clients get something in during the week, and because I call that the weekend warrior, which is so great. Like, go and have fun on the weekends and get outside if you can, or whatever it is you're going to do. But, you know, I think the weekend should be for fun, you know, and a lot of people do find exercise fun. But if you don't, I want you, you know, I would prefer to see my clients do a fun exercise related activity, you know, biking or hiking or something where they're just finding a lot of pleasure and joy in life. And then I'd like to see, you know, something like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday daily burn or a yoga glow or going, taking the dog for, you know, at least a 15-minute walk in the morning. Interval style would be perfect. Like you said, you know, the daily burn will have some of the resistance in there, which is perfect because that's one of the things that I said is important for making sure that we are not losing that valuable, valuable muscle tissue. So, yeah, so I'd like to see it during the week. And I think it's just not only good for us physically, but gosh, you know, starting your day out, you know, getting your blood flowing, that's so great for our brains. You know, your clientele are going to be, you know, working with people and their health, and we need to feel alive and rejuvenated in the morning. It's such a great stress relief right away in the mornings to just get a little something in. It just, like you said, the mornings are just a great time to get some exercise in.
Right. Yeah, I wanted to ask a little bit more about the resistance. What are some things you would recommend for people to have at home? Is there like a basic collection of exercise equipment that they could have at home that would help make things easier?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Thanks, Beth. I love to use these. They're dumbbells, you know, handheld weights that you can buy at like Walmart or, you know, some, you know, one of the big box stores. And what's really neat is that for each hand weight, you can do 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 pounds, and you can choose per weight how you use those. They're called stackable weights. They're probably about $50-ish dollars. They'll slide right under your bed or in the closet. So you know how people are like, oh, I have a, you know, set of 5-pound dumbbells or 25-pound dumbbells, and you'd be having these scattered all over your home, and it's just a mess. Well, these are called stackable weights, and they take up no room. They don't. The investment, I think, is really small, especially if you're not a gym person and you can do some simple exercises at home with them. So that's number one. I would highly recommend some stackable weights for women. I think the ones that go up to 25 pounds are great. They also have a higher weight for men. So you could maybe purchase, you know, two sets of those, one for females and one for males. You know, other things that I like to have in my home gym are what I call the Swiss balls, those kind of big, you know, gigantic plastic balls that a lot of us will sit on, you know, instead of a chair. Those can be used for a lot of core exercises. So, you know, that's around our midsection or back, you know. That's an important exercise piece of equipment that you can you could use it as a desk chair, and then you could also use it for straight core exercises. So I think those are kind of my two biggies if you just want to start small, because those exercise balls are super cheap. You can just get them at one of the local sporting goods stores. You don't need a lot because you can also use your body weight, your own body, for, you know, simple things, push-ups and squats and lunges. A lot of us think we need to do some really crazy extreme exercises, but the simple basic ones will do just fine. We just need to be doing that. We just need to be doing them because, you know, if we don't do these movements, we start to lose them. And I kind of giggle when I talk about the squat because a lot of my clients will, you know, before they come to me, they're a little bit older or whatever. It doesn't really matter what age. They end up kind of bending over to pick things up off the ground instead of using a really nice squat position to kind of, you know, bending at the hips instead of the low back area where a lot of us start to produce back pain. But then again, you know, we need the squat for what? I hate to bring this up, but we need to be able to sit on the toilet. And that's a squat position. So silly as that may sound, if we don't train certain movements, we begin to lose them, you know? Kind of like you mentioned the intervals, like, which is basically a quicker movement and a slower movement. You know, if we're not used to doing some, you know, a quick movement and then coming back to, you know, a stable position, for example, stepping off a curb and then maybe tripping, you know, are you going to fall? Are you going to be able to catch yourself? And you're like probably, you guys are probably laughing at me going, of course I'm going to, you know, maybe not fall. But you know what? As we get a little bit older, and as many of us have heard, you know, when we get into the older population, they're most likely to fall. So this is why we, you know, why exercise is so important, because you know, we want to be able to squat down to go to the bathroom. We want to be able to trip over the curb and maintain balance or play with our kids, grandkids on the ground and crawl around with them, right?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, I was thinking a couple years ago I did have a fall. I tripped on a curb. And it's not so easy to fall when you're older.
Yeah.
It takes you out for a while.
Yeah,
It was really informative to me. Yeah, how interesting. I can't fall anymore. And then the reality of, you know, this could be a broken hip someday came in. And, yeah, broken hips are a significant factor in the decline of people, and many people often decline so severely after a broken hip that it's their death is what it ultimately leads to. Yeah, and how many of us know those elderly people that have such a hard time sitting down in a chair?
And getting up out of the chair too, right? Both.
Right.
The
right.
struggle. Yeah. And so we don't want to get there. You know, most of us, when we think of exercise or eating well, we're like equating that with the number on the scale, right? Like how much do we weigh? Or, oh my gosh, I'm really starting to pack on the pounds in the midsection, you know? And it's like the more muscle tissue we have, the more calorie burning, materially we have. To, you know, sit and be like, oh, wow, like you had mentioned, you know, you're eating what you used to are doing the same movement, but now you're gaining weight. Well, that's because we're most likely declining in that muscle tissue. And so really, that's what we need to be looking at, is body composition is more the focus than the number on the scale. I will always show this picture, and maybe I'll share it with you. And it's a picture of a woman who, I don't know, she's probably in her late 30s, early 40s or something like that. And on one side, there's a photo of her weighing, I don't know, 126 pounds or something like that. And then the next one, she weighs 9 pounds more. Did you hear that? She weighs 9 pounds more, and she looks amazing in the picture where she weighs 9 pounds more. And she's a thin woman, so she looked fine in the, with 9 pounds less, but she looked fit and healthy and attractive and really beautiful with more muscle tissue. So that's the thing. People freak out about muscle tissue. It weighs more than fat. So while we might actually weigh more with more muscle tissue, your clothes are going to fit better. So you actually might drop a jean size with more muscle. And it's easier to burn the calories when we do eat them, you know, because, I'm not a big calorie counter or, you know, measuring. You know, I have other principles that I, you know, strategies that I use with my clients, because, you know, people say, oh, no, I tend to be an overeater, things like that. But to me, it's really not a good, healthy practice to get hyper focused on calories and measuring foods.
Right, exactly. Life's too short, I think.
Well, I agree. And so people say, well, what do I do? And so, you know, in a nutshell, I really have my clients concentrate on awareness, like mindful eating. Because, you know what, when we have no time, what do? We rush through our breakfast. We rush through our lunch. They're quick meals. We barely registered any pleasure and enjoyment in our brain. And when our brain doesn't feel that, we're going to want more food. So there's some really neat things that we can talk about in that realm. If you ever want to have that, is a future discussion.
Ah, okay. That was one other thing I wanted to mention about the home gym. In the morning, when I put down my yoga mat, I actually use it to exercise on. It ceremoniously turns the bedroom into a gym.
Laying
on that mat. And do you do that? Do you have a mat like that at home?
I have a little area that's set up, you know. The same thing. And it's just a little corner. It really isn't much space. Mm-hmm. It's just a little corner, you know, where, I have a little box that has, you know, my weights in it and a yoga mat. You know, I have the ball actually hanging from the ceiling. You know, there's a little something that you can attach it to if you're not going to use it as like an office chair. And
right.
So it's like my little, you know, a little corner. But of course, you can always have a little, you know, I like what you're saying, though. It's kind of like the putting out, like, how do you set yourself up to exercise in the morning? You know, a lot of people say, okay, well, I will put my workout clothes and my gym shoes, my tennis shoes. You know, I will have that out. So the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is I am like, oh, there's my workout clothes and there's my shoes. And it sounds like for you, you have your yoga mat ready to receive you and ready for you to do your practice.
Right. And these are things that we can do the night before.
Perfect.
Yeah, that make it an easier transition to do that exercise. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm saying you're right. That's really cool because that's like your little, you know, your little trigger, you know, that your little reminder. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm setting myself up for the next habit of exercising the next morning. So you have that little trigger, set out my clothes, put out my yoga mat, pull out my hand weights, whatever. And then the next morning, you're like, I look at it, I see it, and then I move on to my new habit that I'm trying to establish. I love it. You know, it really does depend on how much you're using the shoe, you know?
Right.
I mean, if you're really using your shoes, you know, on a regular basis throughout the week, I don't know. I mean, it can be anywhere between 6 months and a year. Some people can go longer because they're doing something, you know, very simple, you know. You know, walking shoes can certainly last a little bit longer than, you know, something that you're really doing some high activity in, and there's more wear and tear on the shoe. But it is a good question, because we want to have good quality exercise equipment, because that's important for the health of our body and our feet, our ankles, and how that kind of translates up to the rest of our joints, our knees and our hips and our back. So, yes, maintaining and having good quality shoes is an important piece to your fitness routine.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. So anything else that you'd like to add?
You know, like I said, most of us know we're supposed to be exercising and know the general reasons why. Of course, you know, the list, most of us are saying, oh, yeah, you know, maintain our weight, and, it's good for stress relief. But really, it's helping us grow and age more gracefully, you know, by doing some more resistance and interval style training, more efficient, effective exercise, so that, you know, what we're eating and how we're moving is really showing some benefit, because we have more, we're not allowing that muscle tissue to deteriorate, which it's naturally doing. We're kind of keeping up with it and becoming more of a calorie burning machine instead of, you know, being, you know, focusing on the number on the scale, on the weight. We're really looking at muscle tissue instead of fat. And then, like, you know, and that final wrap up again is how your daily routine and the habits really, really are setting you up for that cycle to fit exercise into hopefully maybe your morning and make it a natural part of your day, where you actually feel good and energized in the morning, and then you do the exercise, and then you've accomplished it, and then you're just ready to take on the world. So, yeah, I think that's yay, 10 habits, like how important they are and how much of a believer I am in them as well, personally. So thanks for, you know, having this conversation with me. I really enjoyed it, Beth.
Oh, you're welcome. And we'll talk more, and maybe we'll have another one about the diet and exercise.
Yeah, I'd love to do that, especially kind of some more non-traditional ideas around nutrition, more of that mind-body, instead of just the typical things that we hear in the media.
Yeah, great. Great. Thanks, Tanya.
You bet. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, you too.
Take care.